All right, guys, today I'm here with David Sinek for the first in a long series of podcasts I'm going to be doing on making money, SEO, pretty much everything. So today I got David Sinek, one of my buddies from California. He is pretty good at SEO, and he's going to drop us some knowledge with SEO for affiliates, SEO for blog stuff. Also going to kind of go over like what's really, really working in SEO right now, what's kind of backfiring. Welcome David onto the podcast.
Yo, man, what's going on? Should I do my radio voice? Be like, David Sinek from WFAN 660. right now.
Do you have a good radio voice?
I wish I had a good radio voice. I do have a radio station kind of set up here at the office, but...
You do, I've seen it. It's pretty badass.
I'm excited to be here. Let's rock and roll. Do you want me to just talk, or do you have questions?
I got questions. For people who don't know David, he does a lot of SEO for... Just go ahead and name some of your, if you want to drop some of your clients' names. He does some pretty big
stuff. I'll just give you my my background information. I originally got into internet marketing through Ryan Lee, who runs RyanLee.com. He actually was hosting an event in Stanford, where I'm from, and I hit him up and asked him if I could intern for him, and he accepted, and I worked with him for a little while. He got me in, introduced me to a bunch of people. I interned with him, you know, this is like 2 summers ago now. And then ended up going off and making my, Ryan basically told me, you know, the key to success online, I guess, is traffic. And if you know traffic, then you're basically, you can do anything you want. So, I took that to heart and ended up creating my own, advertising agency, Beast Media. And now basically we cut it down from advertising to just SEO because, paid traffic, while it obviously is incredibly lucrative, doing it as a client service is, let's just say it doesn't always work out that well. You really have to be, you know from your personal experience, Justin, yep, is that paid traffic is a ton of conversion optimization. I mean, that's really the biggest part of it. And if you're doing that for clients, you're basically doing two jobs for the price of one. And so we decided that we didn't want to do that anymore.
Yeah, bitchy, unwilling clients who don't want to change anything on their website.
Yeah, exactly. And I mean, the ads will only take you so far, really. If a page sucks, you know, it doesn't really matter. With Beast Media, we've worked with tons of clients from, hedge funds trying to hide from the SEC. That sounds really bad. No, they weren't trying to hide from the SEC.
You know, this is being recorded. I would not be, flaunting that.
Basically it was a reputation management client. They had a bad article written about them in the Forbes magazine, and they wanted to get that knocked off. Anyway, won't say their name. And then, you know, other clients that do direct mail and info products. So we had a guy that sells a direct mail Black History stamps collection, and then we have clients that have fitness info products and so on and so forth. And as a side note, sometimes people tell me that I look like Mark Wahlberg. More specifically, and I just saw this movie, Justin, the other day, is Dirk Diggler from Boogie Nights.
Yeah.
And I, you know what? After seeing that movie, I don't mind the comparisons. And I think that they're pretty accurate, too. So if you guys want to just tell me Dirk Diggler for the rest
of the... You look like a 14-year-old version of Mark Wahlberg.
Yeah, I'm his younger brother, Dave Wahlberg.
You could pull that up, too.
Mark's my uncle. That's basically the overview. I live in San Diego now. I think soon to be joined out here by Justin.
Where I'm gonna
be. Yeah. We'll see if he follows through. We'll see.
I will. I made you a song for me driving out.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. I'm going to make 15 CDs with this on it.
It's just going to be that the whole time?
Yep. 15 nice. Straight CDs, California.
The real thing there is that you still use CDs.
Yeah, I'm kind of... That's my Midwestern sensibilities.
Oh, man. I don't even know what that means.
I'm not as hip as you.
Yeah.
I'm 27. I'm kind of old for the internet marketing game.
Yeah, you are a little old. You might as well just retire. You're done with. You need to move on to new things, like direct mail, the new thing. Go backwards.
That's an old man's game.
Yeah, yeah. That's actually is old man. It's like 50s, 60s. So yeah, what? Let's talk SEO. I'm sure people love to hear your California music, but.
All right, so. I have not paid attention to SEO much lately. I used to be very, very big into it when I used to do poker affiliate stuff. But that kind of shit all fell from the wayside, and I don't really do SEO anymore. So SEO today, give me a good idea of two or three big things that are working right now for you.
Well, I'll give you a couple things that are working now, and I'll kind of give you the basic layout of what the scene is like. First and foremost, you'll notice, obviously, since Google just came out with, I guess, actually, when did they come out with it? A few months ago, is the Plus One, and Google Plus. Basically, everything is heading in a social direction. I don't know if, I mean, obviously, you know, you can't tell the future. I think it's going to continue to become more and more social. I don't know where that ends and you know, when. Because right now, you know, the way rankings are determined is based on links and quality and quantity of links to websites and relevance of those links. And now we're adding in these social factors of how often, I mean, how many likes you have on the page, how many tweets, you know, plus ones and whatnot. Those are starting to factor in rankings, and they have. You know, the sites that have more of those social factors, like those plus ones and whatnot, generally rank better. So I think that that's a big thing now, is making sure that you are in the social scene with your SEO, you know, from Twitter to Facebook to Google Plus One. And ultimately, you know, Google's Plus is their website. So I'm sure that they will be happy with using it. And also they've even said that they've been testing out kind of rearranging rankings based on how many Plus Ones you have. Frankly, I'm really not a fan of that personally, though I don't have any say in the matter. Just because I feel like anything where there's like a like button or a plus one can be gamed in some way.
Yeah, I was just gonna say, couldn't you just hire like Mechanical Turk and get 5,000 likes and game it?
I mean, the thing is that I know you can do that with likes, with Facebook likes. Google Plus makes me nervous about doing that. I haven't done any automated stuff with plus ones at all, because I have this bad feeling that they are way more on top of that, and are, especially, you know, as it relates to SEO. So either way, I'm not a fan of it, but I just know it's a big part of it now, and you want to just make sure that you cover all your bases and you have those plus one buttons and whatnot, and those will help ultimately rank your site. I think that the verdict is still out whether Google Plus is going to be around for the long haul. It seems like it will be. It seems like they're not giving up on it just yet. By giving up, I mean, I don't think it's even bad. Like, I don't even think they're thinking about giving up on it. But, you know, you never know how these things kind of play out. So, right. So yeah, there is definitely an emphasis in social stuff right now. And another thing that I'm seeing, obviously, is with this latest Panda update and the Farm update, is they're getting, you know, Google's trying to get rid of web spam as much as possible. A lot of people translate that into, oh my God, Google hates affiliates, you know, and they've been saying that with AdWords, you know, forever. And ultimately, you know, Google probably does hate affiliates because affiliates are spamming the crap out of the search engines. I mean, they're the ones who are causing the majority of the spam. And they're like, what? You know, they get all pissed off because they're like, man, why won't Google let me just like abuse their system? I don't understand why I can't have my, you know, healthyweightbestexercise.com, you know, rank number one for lose belly fat or stuff like that. Basically what I'm trying to say is that there's a stronger focus now, and there always has been really, but it's definitely, they're starting to actually act on it, on higher quality content, longer content with multiple forms of media. So having videos and images and whatnot in the content itself. And more authority sites. You know, authority sites are getting a bonus. You know, no duplicate content, no more. I mean, auto blogs, I've seen still work to an extent if you set them up right. But, you know, I mean, obviously you want to be focusing on unique content. Duplicate content itself doesn't really rank. We just use that as like a back end sometimes for extra content.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, moving towards higher quality content, the Panda update destroyed a lot of sites that were totally low quality content. I think that the real opportunity now in SEO and the real long-term opportunity, and this is what I've been focusing on, is creating large authority sites and not so much as much mini sites. I mean, granted, mini sites are still a part of my strategy, but I'm not that confident that they're going to last. I just expect every day to turn on my computer and all of my mini affiliate sites just be like, poof, gone, you know? I don't know if that'll ever happen. I don't know if they'll ever really get rid of them, but you know, it's just that's not where I don't put all my eggs in that basket, if that makes sense. Side note too about content is a buddy of mine. He runs a software called SERPIQ, SERPIQ.com, and they did a survey of 15,000 keywords to see of the top 10 keywords what the average content or the top 10 rankings what the average content length was, mm-hmm. and the average for those 15,000 keywords. The average page of content on the first top 10 results had over 2,000 words. So that's another thing to keep in mind as well, is that longer content ranks better. And I can tell you from the clients that we work with and from our own stuff is that the longer posts always, always rank better. And I can tell you just from, for example, I work with this kid, Michael Dunlop. He runs IncomeDiary.com. And one of his best ranking posts is a like top 50 bloggers post. And basically, it's like 6,000 words long, and it ranks for like thousands of keywords just because the content is so long. And then we obviously built links to it. But yeah, long content is killer now. Social is a big important thing. Quality, authority sites. I don't know. Did that all flow and make sense?
No. Yeah, definitely. I think. It's interesting you say that with, like, the long content, because I would say just 2 or 3 years ago, it was more like trying to keep stuff around, like, 800 words max type thing.
Yeah, I mean, I can tell you now that all the content I see, the best ranking stuff is always the longest stuff, at least right now. I mean, I don't know if that's going to be a thing that goes on for a while, but I can tell you that all the stuff that's been easy to rank for us has always been long. So something to keep in mind, and the easiest way to ever rank, write long content is, what's it called? Top 10 list, top 100 list, top 50 list, list posts.
Right.
Those are always killer.
I would say in my experience, list post and something that's entirely controversial, probably two of the best ways to do it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, other things too, you can do that are really good. They aren't necessarily long content, but link bait. So like infographics and just getting like tons of tweets and Facebook likes and plus ones. Those are a good way, by the way, to get quick amounts of plus ones and likes and all that kind of stuff. Because, people want to share that kind of stuff. Actually, you know what? Now that I think about it, that just gave me an idea. I'm going to write it down.
Well, I've always thought too, like, especially with a link bait type post, the best ones I get shared all the time on sites like Facebook and then emailed around are things that kind of play on people's vanity. And I mean, over and over and over again, that's what you see that does the best. Like, if somebody makes a top 50 list, they're going to want to tell all their friends.
Yeah, I've seen that before, too. I just laugh when I see – it works. I mean, yeah, it works. It's awesome. I just laugh when I see, like – some random dude who nobody knows who he is will do a post on his site that's like top 50, professionals in some niche, like fitness professionals. And no one had ever heard of this guy before. And then these guys, these big names that, make tons of money and could probably publish a book if they wanted to, are like, oh my God, I'm number 3 on this list of top 50 guys. I'm like, are you serious? Like, you really care about that? But they do. And it works. It's a way to, I don't know what to tell you, man. Human psychology is a crazy thing. And people love their egos. So always appeal to the ego.
Yep.
So tip for you. That's like the kind of the big thing now is just, that kind of high quality content. So I think though there's still definitely a place for mini sites, and obviously, some friends of mine and you know, myself included, do make good money from mini sites. You just have to, you know, you just have to make sure that you don't put your legs. It's a risk thing, you know. It's like a high risk. It's almost like, you know what it is. It's kind of like building authority sites is like putting your money into a mutual fund or something. And doing these mini sites is kind of like trading penny stocks.
I can see that. The key to the mini sites, in which, I talked about this last year with Ryan, who, anybody listening to this probably has no idea who Ryan is, but mutual friend of ours who does really well with mini blogs, just targeting certain keywords. He succeeds because he has so many of them. So 10 of them get wiped out, he's still going to be all right. So the key to key to keep making the mini sites is you literally need 50 to 100 good ones that are all pulling a decent amount of money. If you have 50 of them, yet only 3 of them are pulling money, you're setting yourself up to get screwed.
Yeah, I think ultimately Ryan's whole business is based around the mini blogs, which I've told him like 1,000 times. It's extreme, you know, very volatile thing to focus on solely.
Right.
But yeah, I mean, his strategy is just like he hustles. He probably has like 500 of those things now at least. I think he's built one a day for the past like year, maybe 2 years.
That's awesome.
Which is insane. I don't know. Personally, I think he should work on some bigger projects too. Just like anything, from income streams to stocks and all that kind of crap, when it comes to doing things, diversify, you know?
Yep.
Don't put your eggs in one basket, because you'll end up getting hammered. But yeah, I mean, so with that said, though, the stuff that Tom is my business partner. The stuff that's worked the best for us recently, a lot of times I see when people talk about SEO, they think of it as like this really, really hard, long-term kind of thing where you're like asking other webmasters for links and doing three-way link exchanges and all that kind of crap, or even buying links. First off, I will say this. We do not buy paid links. And I know, Justin, that when you were doing poker, that was like a big part of your strategy. And I mean, I'm sure you guys have seen, you know, JCPenney and I think it was Overstock.com get like totally hammered by Google as they were doing.
Yeah, my buddy did their SEO.
Huh?
My buddy did their SEO.
Who, JCPenney?
Overstock.
No way.
Yep.
That's, it's crazy. There's a really big SEO company that, my buddy used to work for, and they're one of the biggest, and all they do for their clients is buy paid links, which is so dangerous and so irresponsible. And they say, I swear to God, their CEO was on TV talking about how paid links are bad. Like, they're asking him his opinion on the JCPenney crap, and meanwhile he's like, no, paid links are bad. Meanwhile, his company, that's their whole freaking strategy. A lot of our link building strategy revolves around automation. I think that's a ridiculous opportunity for someone who, granted, when I say automation, that might scare a lot of people because, you might not be technically inclined. And I, frankly, am not technically inclined. Fortunately, my business partner is. But there's a ton of software out there that you can use now to make SEO a lot more automated. And I think the coolest thing about the internet is that everything is becoming more and more automated. So a lot of our strategy revolves around using automated programs, and a couple of them, I'll give you some examples of ones that we use. First one that we've been using a ton recently is called Authority Link Network. I think it's $15 a month now. It used to be free. Basically, what Authority Link Network is like a blog network. You submit blogs with PageRank, and then they'll give you credits based on the PageRank of the blogs you submit. And then you'll submit an article, and it'll be posted, or you submit a spun article,
and it'll be posted to 15 blogs on this blog network, and then that'll all link back to whatever page you have it linking to. And so it's a good way to get a ton of links, and it takes like 5 minutes to set up one of these posts. And that's been working out really well for us. I mean, I'll do like one or probably like one to three Authority Link Network blasts on a brand new, literally two-page site, and it's already put me up in like the 20s for some. I mean, they're not super competitive keywords. It's like an info product in a smaller niche, but right. You know, either way, it took like 2 days to get in the top 20, and then just had to keep promoting it from there. So Authority Link Network is awesome. I'm a big fan of that. We haven't had any issues as well with any Google slaps or anything from that as of yet. We've tested on a ton of sites, so definitely a resource worth checking out. And it's all automated. That's probably the easiest way to get automated links is that site. Next one we use that's a little bit harder to use, but also provides you with a ton of really high-quality links, a ton of links. It's Article Marketing Robot. And basically what you do is you need to get 10 articles, and you want to spin them using the best spinner, which is the software that we use for article spinning. It's the best one, and it says in the name, too, that it's the best spinner because it is the best spinner. Basically, you spin an article, you put it into article mark, you put those articles in Article Marketing Robot, and then it'll submit your article to thousands of article directories over whatever time period you set. So what we like to do to make it appear natural is it'll submit an article. What's it called? It'll submit like 10 articles every 15 minutes, 15 articles every 30 minutes, 5 articles every hour, etc. So it's like kind of random. So it appears natural, I guess, is the key. And that has worked really well. We've ranked a ton of mini sites with just Article Marketing Robot.
Those are all just going to article submission sites.
Yeah, yeah. We haven't been using it as much recently because it takes about an hour to set up, and we're so lazy that Authority Link Network was just the better option for us at the time. We still use it occasionally. It's awesome. So what else? We're just getting into using something called Rank Builder, which is by the same guys as the guys who created Authority Link Network, and Rank Builder will register accounts for you on Web 2.0 properties, which can be a hassle if you don't have a software, because you have to like verify emails and stuff. And so if you want to build a ton of properties, you basically, when you're building Web 2.0 properties linked back to your sites, you want to have the Web 2.0 properties on a different email address, a different account for each one, so that they look like unique properties, you know, not just one dude making 100 properties. So Rank Builder helps you create accounts on those sites, and then also it can help you submit the content to all of the Web 2.0 properties. However, we generally submit that content manually. We'll post it manually, but we use it to make accounts. It just saves us a ton of time. And that's a huge part of SEO strategy now is using Web 2.0 properties. I mean, if you just look at, like, Mike Geary, for example, with Truth About Abs, big part of – I bet you he gets a ton of authority and link juice because he's got this old Blogspot blog. So it's like truthaboutabs.blogspot.com. And he just puts up content there. It's been up there for like 5 years now, 4 years, actually five. And that, because it's on Blogspot, you get the authority from Blogspot.
Right.
And you can build a ton of links to those Web 2.0 properties because they have so much, there's so many links being built to them on a regular basis anyway, that you can do that without getting penalized. So then you can pass that authority to your own site. So high quality Web 2.0 properties are big right now. And they have been for a while, really. And then building links to those Web 2.0 properties to give them an extra boost. So we use Rank Builder for that, and that kind of automates part of that process. Let me think. What else do we use? I'm about to open up my server real quick. I would say that, if you're doing any SEO projects, you want to make sure you're tracking your ranks. You don't want to be... If you don't want to be tracking manually, because that's just a total nightmare. So we use Rank Tracker, which is by a company called actually, I think you just go to link-assistant.com and you'll find it. Anyway, Rank Tracker, we track all of our ranks for our clients and ourselves, and it has these neat little graphs and shit that you can see. So Rank Tracker is a good program. And then another one that we're getting into now is something called Scrapebox. And if you've ever seen spam blog comments, that's Scrapebox. But we're not really using it to do spam blog comments, though we probably will a little bit. you know, full disclosure. But really what Scrapebox is good for is that it's like a little search engine spider almost. You can set it to go find relevant high authority websites, and basically you want to go you find high page rank sites that you can leave a comment on, and then you can, so basically instead of doing spam comments, what you do is you use it to find high authority sites, and then you leave a manual comment on those, like PageRank 5, PageRank 6, PageRank 7 news sites and whatnot. So that is becoming a big part of our strategy as well, to kind of diversify and get high quality links.
Are those links doing well coming from high authority sites, even in the comment section?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of times people will tell you that because they're nofollow,
right,
that's not going to be good. But what we found is that nofollow is total BS, and that it still counts as a link. And ultimately, you don't want to have just dofollow links, because if all your links are dofollow, then Google's going to be like, well, something's wrong here, because no one does that naturally, you know?
Right.
So we don't really care. We just post it everywhere. the biggest thing we've seen is if you don't want to get slapped by Google, you want to make sure that your links are diverse you have links from different sources. So Web 2.0 properties, blog comments, social bookmarks, article submissions, blog directories. And you want to mix in, you know, high quality and low quality in there as well. And always be careful, too, with low quality links. If you're going to do, like, tons of automated links, I would be careful about sending that to a money site. I would probably focus those more on a layer above it, so like a Web 2.0 property or whatever. But, yeah.
Are you doing are you guys doing anything with eZine articles?
Yeah, that article marketing robot submits there. We don't do anything like
that.
Yeah, we don't do anything like directly on there, that like one-on-one, you know.
All right.
To me, a big part of the strategy now is using these high-authority Web 2.0 sites and building links to the content that you create on those, and then passing that authority to yours. And building even like SEO feeder sites that you just build links to and then pass that to your new site. If you want to see an example of a genius SEO strategy that's worked long term, let me just see if this site still exists. But it's genius.com. Hang on. Oh, no way. Maybe it doesn't exist. Hang on. Aaron Wall search engine history. All right. So yeah, this guy, like, he's smart. If you guys know who Aaron Wall is,
yeah,
he owns SEObook.com. God, he's such. I see what he does. He's just like, he's so next. It's not even like he's next level. He's a smart dude. He's a smart hustler. So basically, he created this website called.
He's like an idiot savant. I swear to God, I've met him.
Yeah. Yeah. He knows what he's doing. He's hustled so hard. He has a website called searchenginehistory.com, okay? And this site is literally just an information site about the history of search engines. So he talks all the way back from 1945 to today. He's got a ton of it's just so ridiculous. I see these sites and I'm just like, I wish I had done this. But basically, it's this huge authority site all about search engine optimization, paid search, etc. And he gets all these links from these these .edu links from universities, and I'm sure he gets stuff from like government and newspapers and all sorts of great PR and stuff, and Wikipedia links too, to the site. And then he uses this to pass that authority to his own sites like SEObook.com. So search engine history, I'll tell you, it's got a high page rank for sure. It has a ton of authority, and he uses that to rank all of his other sites, and it's genius. That's really the long-term SEO stuff, is having these authority sites that are, like, totally harmless, you know, that you can get, like, Wikipedia links from and stuff.
Yep.
And then using those long-term, because this site will never get slapped by Google, you know, it's about as safe as you can possibly get. So that's kind of what I'm focusing on, is building these like authority sites that'll last, you know, long term. And anything where you can kind of make it totally informational and no sales and use that as a way to get, like, I mean, Wikipedia, for example, like we have the client that does the Black History stamps. We've built them the site now. That is basically just all of their biographies of all the famous people in Black history. And then we're getting links from Wikipedia for each one of these biographies. So it's anytime you can incorporate Wikipedia and those kind of high authority sites into your strategy, that's just killer. I can't see the page rank of search engine history, but yeah, I mean, that's where it's at, man. Is you got to think long term in SEO. That's really what I've been learning a lot. Is just you should be thinking what are you going to be doing in 3 years from now with this website, you know, or five years, 10 years.
I don't know if you guys do this. Actually, I don't even know if Ryan does this. Are you guys targeting specific names of like products? So if you're making a site and going after 31-day fat loss cure, you'd be targeting obviously our brand name, the .com, Vic McGarry, blah, blah, blah. Are you guys doing that? I know Ryan does it on some level.
Yeah, I actually, a lot of our sites were just like celebrity workout sites, but now I haven't been doing as much mini sites recently, but I did create one recently for Alex's product, which I don't want to blow up my own spot, so I won't say it, but it's a basketball one. And so I'm kind of messing around with that right now, but, I mean, for example, Ryan ranked number one for that and it made him like $800 that month. So I know it works, and I mean, I've known it because I can see it, from my clients and whatnot. So, it's a thing that I'm going to be starting to experiment more with just for fun.
Right.
And by experiment, it's not really an experiment really, because I'm, you know, I know that the product name keywords sell. So,
right.
Anytime you rank for that, you're going to, be able to make some affiliate commissions. It always, I guess, depend on the product owner if they're going to be happy with you doing that or not. So on ClickBank, you know, you'll probably be okay. But on CPI networks, for example, you might want to check in with the site owner. You got to be careful with trademarks and all that kind of crap.
Right. Yeah, I mean, I would say I know a couple of our affiliates who do it. And, I mean, they don't make huge money. But if they did the same thing they did with ours with 5 to 10 other sites, they have a full-time income.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's, you know, if I've seen, like, Ryan's profile, for example, his in his portfolio, the majority of his income for the last month came from his product name websites, as opposed to his, you know, other related keywords, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, if you're going to go after a keyword, you got to make sure that, you know, it's worth your time. And if you're not sure if it's worth your time, then you want to, you know, budget your time accordingly. You know what I mean?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, a lot of people go after something like lose fat, yet you have no idea how well it's going to convert.
Yeah. That is definitely true. And ultimately, you can find out how well something converts based on, if you just look at the keyword, you look at who's advertising, you look at how long they've been advertising for. That's a good way to kind of check its profitability, because so no one's going to spend money unless they're like totally brain dead. If it's not giving them a return on investment. So something to keep in mind when you are determining keywords to go after. That reminds me, a big tool that I use basically every day now, is SEMrush, which is actually Aaron Wall, made that tool too. He's basically owns the SEO niche. SEMrush, what it does is you can put in your competitors' URLs and it'll tell you all the keywords that they rank for. I think just up to the top 20. I don't think it goes any deeper than that. I use that every day to spy on my competitors and see what they're doing and then build out keyword lists based on it. I would recommend very much checking it out. It's like they up the price. I'm kind of annoyed because I canceled when it was like $40 a month or something, and then because I wasn't using it for a while.
Right.
And I came back and it was like $70 and I was annoyed, but whatever. That's what you get, man. You don't, that's how they get you. So SEMrush, I use that all the time. It's killer tool. I'm Mr. Software. We have a dedicated server that has Windows installed on it. So all of our SEO tools, because these tools take up a lot of bandwidth when they're working, and not just like a lot of, I mean, like if I was using it on my computer right now, it would be slow as hell. So we have it on a dedicated server and we run our software from remote desktop, which is, I don't know. I personally think it was a pretty genius move on our part, but, that's hugely useful if you can get a good dedicated server. It's like $60 a month for ours. We use a company called Volume Drive. We used to use a company called VPS Land, but they the operating system would get corrupt and we'd lose everything for no reason. And yeah, no refunds, nothing.
Really?
Unfortunately, we did have backups. Yeah, they suck. I hate them. I've being on the other end of things and selling products and seeing what customers are like, you know, I try not to be a jerk to companies, but they really went above and beyond incompetence. I mean, you know what? It's gotta be, now that I'm thinking about it, the only times I've ever really gotten mad at companies and like written them letters where it's just like, are you kidding me? Give me a refund or I'm going to charge you back. Has been with hosting companies. Like one in one, you know, taking like 2 weeks to change name servers because for some reason they won't let you do it yourself. You know, something that takes 10 seconds.
Wow.
I literally was gonna fly up there and like burn their building down. Media Temple, same thing. Media Temple, we were doing this PCI compliance.
I couldn't stand Media Temple when I was with them.
They are the worst. I hate them. Oh my god, they're so bad.
We switched to Liquid Web, and I haven't had any problems with them since then.
Oh yeah, Liquid Web is great. I'm a big fan of Liquid Web, and the other one is WiredTree. WiredTree has been Liquid Web, I think we use on one of our sites. I don't have that much interaction with them, but WiredTree is far and away the best customers. I mean, I call them at like 11 o'clock at night with like the most retarded questions you could imagine. Like, I just like, cause I'm an idiot. Like, you know, I don't even know what I'm doing on the computer. I'm just like banging keys and shit. And I call them and I'm just like, I don't understand how this computer works. And they're like, well, here's the answer. And I get it and I'm all good. So they've been good. Yeah. Anyway. So, what were we talking about? Oh yeah. So putting your stuff, if you use a lot of automation tools, we put them on a server, saves your internet service provider from calling you and asking you why you're using more bandwidth than the entire apartment building you're in. you know, that kind of stuff. I would definitely recommend using a VPS or a dedicated server.
Right. Well, the good thing about that too is, I mean, you could throw every single one of your affiliate sites on it.
Actually, we don't do that.
No,
because they're Windows servers and, but Windows servers are really not ideal for hosting. We have one separate. I mean, we could in theory, if we set up, like, we don't even set up a cPanel on it just because we never expect to put websites on there. I would stay away from mixing and matching because if you are doing, if you are using up, first off, I mean, if you're using a lot of bandwidth and whatnot from using all your automation tools, it's going to take away from your website's performance if they get a lot of traffic, you know.
Right.
And also, I'm not a fan of hosting websites on Windows servers. I don't really know why. I just know that it's always been bad for us. So, I would always keep them separate. But you can, I mean, you can use it as like, it's like a computer. You know, we install Windows on it and we literally log in and it's a computer. It's not like we're like a DOS prompt. Do you know what DOS is, right? You're older than I am.
Yeah, no, I don't like know exactly how it works. I know what it is.
We're going to get like the 1992 kids who are like, what the hell is DOS? I'm like, yeah, Windows 3.1, son. With the operator. Man.
What are you talking? You're like, what are you, like 22?
23, man. Just turned 23. I'm old school. I was playing Space Invaders when I was like 6 years old. I'm old school. Yeah, no, it's literally like logging into a different computer, and you can put files on there and everything. I mean, it's just like a separate computer that we have that we pay $60 a month for. So I'm a big fan. That's a really big thing. So what else? What else do we need to talk about?
Let's talk about biggest mistakes you kind of see affiliates or anybody making SEO-wise.
All right, I can give you a couple ones. Number one, not thinking long term. I think that this isn't just an affiliate marketing mistake. This is just a business mistake, period. If you are not thinking long term, then you are asking for trouble. I mean, your definition of long term might be different than mine, but I'm thinking like, I don't want to be sitting here in 10 years still, you know, doing SEO services for clients or still building affiliate websites, or still, you know, trying to figure out how I'm going to make money, or still needing to do work to make money. You know what I mean?
Right.
And if you're doing strategies that require you to continue to do work and aren't really leverageable, I guess is what I'm trying to say, kind of things that you can use to make more money with less time over time, you know, I think that you're making a huge mistake. So in that sense that I'm talking about, like, doing link building tactics that are, I mean, like, granted, you know, a lot of the stuff we do is considered black hat, I guess, but you got to find that middle ground, that safe zone where you can make sure that you are, you know, still getting, you know, automating as much as possible and getting, you know, doing stuff that works, but making sure you're thinking about long-term and playing it safe enough that you're going to last for a long time. And that kind of goes back to what I was saying about authority sites, is building, you know, big websites that have a lot of good high quality content and user experience, because ultimately that's what's going to keep you around it. I mean, I see crappy affiliate websites that don't add any value all the time. And ultimately it might not be this year, it might not be next year, but eventually, you know, it's not gonna last.
Right.
So just make sure you're providing value. That's the real thing, and thinking long term. Another thing that ties into this as well is not thinking big enough. You know, I mean, I've been on Ryan's back, the same guy who he's the guy who just does all the, just use him as example here. He's the guy who does just mini sites, and I've been telling him forever, you know, diversify, because eventually somebody's gonna bite you in the butt. And also, you know, how much money can you really make doing mini sites? I mean, granted, he makes a full-time income and he does pretty well. But, you know, if you know, making $1 million is cool, but making $100 million is way cooler. So ultimately, it's up to you.
All right, Justin Timberlake.
Yeah. man, I'm bringing sexy back. It's really cool? $1 billion.
I was wondering if you watched that recently.
Yeah, dude, that, oh my god. The writing in that movie is just amazing. So think big. I mean, Gary Vee, I just saw him speak at the ClickBank Exchange. He is,
I don't mean to cut you off. How was that conference, by the way?
It was pretty good. I met some good connections. I ate dinner with Joe Sugarman, and I was talking to him about, like, gluten intolerance and all sorts of health stuff. He's way into it.
Dude,
he's
jacked. Joe Sugarman.
Yeah, he was talking about how he can do 23 pull-ups and all sorts of stuff.
Oh, dude, he's a beast. He's, like, fucking 75 years old.
Yeah. He's the strongest old dude I've ever seen, by far. He's wearing his, like, Under Armour shirt.
What a pimp.
So, yeah. So not thinking big, not thinking long term. I think again, you know, not providing enough value, that's huge. Just provide value with your website. If your website is just there for arbitrage, it's only going to last you so long. I think, you know, copywriting is a big thing, and email marketing as well. I think that a lot of affiliates should be getting more into email. I think that's a huge area where you get that way. That's what I'm talking about with leverage. You know, I use SEO as kind of like an entry point to then diversify into other traffic sources as well. So I never am a big fan of relying on just one. But SEO to me is like the easiest and first thing you can work on where you don't really have to spend money on it either. Let me think. Mistakes. What was I just saying? I totally forgot.
Not looking long term. Not thinking big enough.
Not thinking long term. Email. Collecting emails, doing email marketing, learning copy, you know, read books, read Joe Sugarman's Advertising Secrets of the Written Word. Breakthrough Advertising by Gene Schwartz. I can't even tell you how much that has helped me, just like knowing the basic principles of copywriting compared to like these idiots who like can't even friggin' put a sentence together. Like, learn how to write, you know? Learn how to write well. I could talk about tons of mistakes, but the one last one, I guess, would be don't isolate yourself from other people. You know, I mean, granted, I'm sitting in a room by myself right now,
nerd.
Go to events, meet up with people, get connected. You know, that's how you're really going to take your business to the next level. Find JV partners to work with. I mean, granted, you guys are affiliates, not necessarily product owners, but there's always benefits as an affiliate to going to these events and meeting people and whatnot. There's always someone there that can probably help you in a way. And you know what? Another thing too. Actually, no, this isn't a mistake. I'll save it for later. But yeah, think big, think long term, add value, go to events, you know, be a man.
I like that.
You ever see the Oklahoma state coach when he's like, they're talking about, he's like, talk to me. I'm a man. I'm 40.
The press conference?
Yeah. My God. That guy's so funny. I love that stuff. That's really it for mistakes. I'd say, another big area of opportunity right now, I think, is buying websites. even affiliate websites.
Yep.
We bought losebellyfat.com. We bought another site that wasn't an affiliate website, True Foods Market. .com, and those have both done pretty well for us. Though granted, this ties into a mistake. Here's another mistake that you can make. Don't get too crazy outsourcing SEO. Granted, I run an SEO service company, so obviously I'm very trustworthy myself, but we were doing some testing with Lose Belly Fat when we first got it before we built it up a lot, so there wasn't that much content on it. And we outsourced to a guy who we had worked with in the past, and he had done great work for us, but we outsourced to a guy, and he had like a new link building package or whatever, and it basically screwed us. It gave us more attention from Google, I guess, bad attention for whatever reason, and this happened right during the Panda update, so it slapped us, and that site got penalized. So we're still now working to get out of the sandbox, of course, which is a total nightmare. But the point is that the mistake we made with that site was that we were like, screw it, we're going to kind of be hands-off with it and just totally leave it into someone else's hands. Granted, we had the trust from the guy before, but, you know, we probably should have been totally focusing on ourselves. You know, we wouldn't have made that mistake if it had been us managing it the whole time. You know, you just got to make sure that's be careful with your link building, be careful who you trust. Make sure that if you're gonna outsource SEO, make sure you're outsourcing it to a professional, not just some random dude, right?
What about the guys in India for $2 an hour?
Never. I've literally tried hiring guys in the Philippines and whatnot. And basically, I don't just like they don't. It's not like guys who are already trained in link building. It's guys who I wanted to train. It just never works out. they ended up being really slow, and it wasn't worth the money. I honestly, I'm pretty convinced at this point that people who have virtual assistants in other countries that say they're great, like, those people just suck. The reason why they think that the virtual assistants are great is because they're not great themselves, so they don't even know. You know what I mean? They don't even know what great is.
Or, they've never had another one.
Yeah. I don't have a virtual assistant at the moment. I probably will never get a virtual assistant. I really like working with people in person.
Using interns for free labor.
Yeah, well, we've done interns before. That's a really good way to get free labor for sure. Interns are awesome. For me, I've had the benefit of Tom has buddies who are in school and need work and will work for cheap. So I have assistants all over the place, I guess.
Nice.
But yeah, I think, hiring people to do manual labor is really good for sure. I love outsourcing, but, again, just make sure you know who to trust. The more involved you are, the more you know about SEO yourself, the safer you're going to be. You know what I mean? The less risk there is. So you just got to be careful.
Sorry, I got distracted because I'm a little shorty was hitting me up on Facebook.
Right. Shorts. Is that what they call dudes nowadays? Shorties?
Seemed more interesting than SEO.
All right. Okay.
So, any conferences coming up that you're going to?
Good question. No, I don't think so. I'd like there to be, but I don't really know. I mean, Yonex is in March.
That's a long way.
I can't believe it's already been, you know, like, what, 6 months since the event? I remember going to the Underground and being like, man, I can't believe it's been a year since the last one. It's already been 6 months since I went to that one. Yonex Underground, Ryan Lee's Continuity Summit, if you ever host it, that's always, again, that's one is good. Ryan Lee's Sam, ClickBank Exchange, if they do it again, was awesome. I don't know, I've kind of been off my event game in the last few months for the summer. I've just been kind of focused on just building my business and whatnot here. And there hasn't really been anything too crazy.
You mean you actually have to do work and not just go to conferences?
Yeah. Kind of sucks, but whatever. I go to masterminds sometimes. Nothing too crazy, though. I'm trying to think. No, I mean, that's really it for events for me. I do a lot of one-on-one things and, like, little workshops and stuff, but that's really it. That's it for events. I'm honestly thinking about starting on my own at some point, just because I'm really good at that kind of thing. I'm good at bringing people together, and I feel like most events suck, so I'd like to do a better version. But we'll see. We'll see if that ever comes into fruition.
I've been debating doing that for our top affiliates, throwing it like a one weekend mastermind where I rent out like a house in Vegas. Everybody's free to come out. Or mastermind for like 2 or 3 days.
Well, yeah, I would 100% do that. Yeah, you should do that.
Might do it.
I think there's a huge value to those kind of things. I love small mastermind groups. That's for me is where I get a lot of benefit.
Especially when you can focus in Las Vegas.
Yeah, I don't know. I really despise Las Vegas. I think it's a disgusting cesspool.
Oh, what's wrong with you?
Huh?
What's wrong with you?
That kind of materialism doesn't appeal to me. But I will say that I've been there more than any other place in the past, you know, year or so. Everybody seems to have their events there. I don't know. It's a cheap place to have events too, relatively. But I don't know. San Diego is way better for events.
That's how I got robbed in Vegas like 2 weeks ago.
Who?
I got robbed in Las Vegas like 2 weeks ago.
There you go. There you go. That's why you don't go to Vegas. What'd you do? I would have been like, you better kill me if you want this money.
No, I guess not like armed robbery, but we were in our hotel room. I was literally walked in, came in from the casino at like 5 a.m. I'm in the bathroom, and I heard somebody walking around. I thought it was my roommate. We come out. My MacBook Pro is gone. My watch is gone. And my buddy who I was staying with, like, wallet got raided.
So it's all gone now? You didn't get it back?
Uh-uh.
Damn, while you were in the room, too.
While I was in the room.
Man, that's the kind of shit I would walk outside and, like, you know, I joked about that with Alex once. We were talking about, like, what would happen if we, if me and him were in the apartment when, if someone was robbing us, like, how bad it would be for that person. Because, like, we'd lock the door and, like, it would be bad. That would be very bloody and bruised. Someone trying to rob us. It would turn the tables pretty quickly. But yeah, no, that sucks, man. I'd be so angry. So angry.
Yeah, wasn't very happy. That's for sure.
No, people are jerks.
Life wisdom from David Sinek.
Yeah.
People are jerks. All right, yep. Anything else you want to give out?
No, that's it.
Where can people get a hold of you if they want to talk to you?
If you guys are interested in, so I do consulting and we actually do, so we can either tell you what to do or do it for you. So I set up a little ghetto page. Actually, this was for a webinar that I just did earlier today, but I still have it up. So if you guys are interested, you can email me at david@media-beast.com with any questions and whatnot. And if you're interested in working with me, hit me up there, and I will get back to you. And hopefully I can help you guys out. That's it.
Sweet. And also, if you guys want, you can friend me up on Facebook, Justin Goff. David's on Facebook as well. I'm going to start posting a lot of the podcast. And whoever's on Facebook will probably be the first to know. If you're on the affiliate email list, it's also going to be sent out there. So get on one of those. So if you want to get updated every time we put up a new podcast. Also, what the hell was I going to say? Oh, taking suggestions for new topics for next time. So we're going to go over everything from SEO, paid traffic, copywriting, media buying, everything. So if you got questions, ideas for the next podcast, definitely get a hold of me. If you need consulting SEO services, get a hold of David. All right, Dave.
Thank you for having me, man. Much appreciated.
Can I give you your sweet outro music?
Yeah, I don't have any. You can play something.
I got it. You ready?
All right, go for it.
I'm like a mix artist on GarageBand.
Huh?
This should be my new full-time job, GarageBand.
Hey man, podcasting is fun. This is easy to do. It's legit.
All right, buddy. Thanks for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. All right. I will talk to you later.
Later.